but solid. It was certainly true that the farther you moved from cities or from strategic military sites, the better were the chances of finding a few buildings still standing from the lost days before Skydark.
It looks perfect. We haven't tumbled into a Kron spot, have we? Been trawled back in time?
No. There's our boat behind us, and the dolphins reappeared again.
The bottlenose was swimming up and down, very close to the beach, seeming distressed.
Are we going to take a look, Lover?
Hell yes.
Some of the plastic letters above the main entrance had been destroyed over the years, but there was enough left to guess at what the name had been.
Best Western Florida Keys. Seen a few of these hotels over the Deathlands. Must have really been built to last.
Amazingly well preserved. Guess it's because of being down in this sort of natural hollow. Saved it from the worst of the weather, as well as keeping it out of sight of any roving fishermen passing by.
Are we going to check in?
Let's take a wreck around the outside first. Looks safe, but looks don't mean shit.
The glass was tinted to keep out the blinding sunlight, making it impossible to see inside the building. It made Ryan slightly uneasy, imagining half a dozen men behind each dark-mirrored window, each drawing a careful, lethal bead on them with a scoped sight rifle. On the south side, there was obvious structural damage, probably caused by a localized earth movement. A whole wing of the hotel had gone down in a heap of rubble, showing only cracked bare walls inside. At the back, there was what had once been a tennis court, riven by a long, jagged fissure that had split the rotted net in two. There was also a swimming pool, filled only with a few inches of dark green scum and littered with fallen leaves. The Gulf of Mexico came within a few yards of the back of the hotel, which was protected by the surrounding sand dunes and the remnants of a small stone harbor. Ryan led the way out into the quayside, glancing back at the forbidding pile of bleached concrete behind them. He shook his head.
Something creepy about it looking so good.
We can go in, can't we?
Sure.
Ryan sat down on the dock, enjoying the morning sun. Christy sat beside him, letting her legs dangle over the side.
Water's deep.
Ryan leaned forward, peering into the unexpectedly shadowed depths.
Yeah.
He picked up a chunk of white stone the size of his fist and lobbed it between his feet. He followed its pale shape for what seemed an eternity before it finally vanished.
Hasn't hit the bottom. Must be 100 feet or more. That's incredibly deep for water alongside a key like this, isn't it?
Yeah. Might have been some kind of grotto or canyon opened up down there.
They sat for a while longer, eating their tuna sandwiches, washed down with water. There were also some slices of pineapple wrapped up, but the heat of the day had turned them soft and unpleasantly mushy. They followed the stone into the sea.
It's like someone cleared a path through here.
Christy led the way back toward the main entrance of the Best Western Hotel.
Animals of some sort.
The undergrowth did appear to have been kept down in a straight line from the harbor to the building, but the soft-blown sand didn't retain any sort of prints.
What sort of animals come out of the sea, Lover? Can't think of many in these parts.
I don't know. Doesn't much matter. We got enough blaster power to take out anything we might find.
The lobby smelled like a tomb, dusty and dry, overlaid with a paradoxical hint of ancient damp. With the door open, the outside wind whispered in, making the moats stir in the farthest corners, as though the shroud of some wizard's mummified corpse were unwinding. Ryan stared around them, getting his eye used to the gloom, seeing chairs and sofas all about the room.
Amazing.
The entrance hall was virtually untouched by the passing of the years. Posters were still pinned to the walls, showing other Best Westerns around the country with unimaginably exotic names and locations. Golden Hills Resort, Tradewinds Courtyard, Carmel Bay View, Shorecliff Lodge, Jesse James Inn, Heart of America Inn, Blue Water on the Ocean. Some of the pictures were faded close to invisibility. There was a tall vending machine in one corner of the lobby, but it had been broken into and emptied.
There's an eatery here.
The carved wooden sign said it had been called the Fisherman's Cabin. Some of the tables had been overturned, but others still stood, waiting for diners who were 100 years dead. Candles rose from red glass bowls, and plastic carnations stood in thin silver vases. Knives and forks and spoons had been laid out in their places, and maroon napkins still held their original sharp folds.
We should have brought our food in here for a touch of class.
Christy stood in the middle of the vast circular room, where a space had been left clear, showing patterned wooden tiles, overlaid with a thin covering of dust.
Dance floor, I guess. It's a shame there's no music. We could have shared a last waltz together.
I can't dance. Don't ask me. Let's look around some more.
There were several snack and soft drink vending machines at the bottom of the stairs that led to the second floor, all raided and gutted. On the second floor, there was some evidence of either a rapid evacuation at the time of the Holocaust or of selective raiding at some later date. But some of the rooms were completely untouched, and Ryan and Christy went into one of them, gazing around like children in a toy store.
People really lived like this?
So I heard.
Ordinary people? Norms?
Yeah.
Not barons?
Right, lover, just look at the luxury of it.
Look at the size of those two beds. Would they have slept two in each? There's space for six.
I reckon each bed was just for one person.
Shock registered on Ryan's face, mingled with disbelief and the suspicion that the woman was teasing him.
You could put up the whole crew of a war wagon in this one room. It would have made Trader laugh to see it.
The two king-size beds stood side by side, with a painting at the head of each. One showed a vermilion marlin leaping clear of the sea, and the other a dark blue whale with a calf basking on the surface. There was a table with a TV standing on it, and a round table with two padded chairs. A light hung from a chain above the table. Farther back was a huge wash basin with a speckled mirror behind it, and a bathroom and crapper.
Towels. All different sizes.
Christy picked up one of the piles of white fluffiness. The cloth disintegrated into grains of powdery dust as soon as she touched it.
Oh, Gaia.
Probably the blankets and stuff are the same. They won't have lasted.
Christy opened the drawers of the desk, pulling out a frail bag of transparent plastic.
What's this for?
To put over your head if you didn't have enough jack to pay the check.
No, it says for laundry. Look, a postcard for the hotel. And there's a Bible in here as well.
What's that?
It was a card, with five little cartoon faces drawn on it. One smiling broadly, one smiling less, one not smiling at all, one frowning a bit, and one really scowling. Ryan read the line of type above the faces.
It will help us to provide an even better service for our guests if we know how you feel we've succeeded with you. Please check the box beneath the faces that most corresponds to your reaction to staying with us. Think it's probably the sort of smiling one, Christy?
No, the one that's scowling a bit. Those towels just fell apart in my hands. And there's a massive dead spider in the tub. Sorry, but they could do better.
When you reckon it's 100 years since anyone checked in here, I think it's in good shape. Big smiley smile face for me.
Balconies in several of the rooms looked out over a central enclosed atrium, with game machines and a small empty pool. There were some black and yellow plastic loungers, and what Ryan guessed was a kind of well. They walked along the carpeted corridors to a fire door. Ryan reached out to open it and jumped back with a loud exclamation of shock.
What is it?
Christy's blaster was already half drawn from its leather holster.
Nothing. Just that I got a shot of static from the brass handle. Sorry. Let's go down and look at that courtyard.
It wasn't a well. Christy recognized it from the flickering scraps of old vids that she'd seen.
It's named after a blaster like JB carries. A Jack Uzi, I think. Got filled with hot water and loads of bubbles.
Ryan peered into it suspiciously.
Don't see what that's got to do with a blaster, do you?
Christy didn't answer him. She turned her head, her green eyes narrowing.
Thought I heard something and felt a slight draft. Like a door's been opened and...
What?
Sounds stupid, lover. I thought I heard that dolphin inside my head trying to warn us about something.
They both stood still, weighing up the silence that washed around them. The atrium of the hotel had been built with an elegantly domed glass roof, but the passing years had covered it with a delicate patina of moss and algae. The light that came through was filtered into a dark, muted green, and it was like being in the depths of some primeval rainforest. Ryan and Christy stood together, back to back, with their hand blasters drawn, looking around them. There were at least four doors into the open space, each of them closed. What was far more threatening was the fact that the atrium was surrounded on all four sides by the blind windows of the hotel's rooms, the second story with the trim balconies. If there truly was a threat, then it could come snarling at them from literally anywhere.
Get out of here!
Which way?
Who the fuck knows?
The noise could have come from anywhere. The corridors and suites of the hotel, with their